This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:37 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar, together with Wong Xiaoning. This week in Parliament, Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin said that his ministry will be working on the projection of the number of contract medical officers that need to be appointed on a permanent basis. He shared that since the end of 2016, more than 24,000 medical officers had been hired under contract by the ministry, but only 1,000 were offered permanent posts.
So he called it a legacy issue. Khairi said that he's unsure if those under contract can be absorbed to permanent positions. He also said that the government had agreed to continue the contract appointment of just over 10,000 medical, dental and pharmaceutical officers, involving an allocation of $336 million. Now, out of the 10,000, just over 4,000 have been evaluated and could be recommended to the Public Service Department for permanent positions. Of course, the question is, why is the Health Ministry only preparing a projection now, when this contract doctor issue has been going on for years?
So for a reaction to these recent announcements and for some insights into what's really going on, we're speaking to Dr. Koo Yong Kian, Managing Director of the Malaysian Medical Gazette. Good morning, Dr. Koo. Thanks for speaking with us today. So what do you make of the Ministry of Health's recent announcement that it will likely absorb less than half of contract medical officers to permanent positions? I think just over 4,000 posts. I mean, is this a fair figure?
Hi, good morning, Shazana and Shuning. Thanks for having me. I think in the perspective of contract doctors, it would definitely be seen as unfair because I think their plight has been publicized and they've been airing the issues for quite some time now. But I think the decision to absorb only the certain number of doctors is also dependent on several factors. First of all, MOH is not the sole decision maker. The hiring process still needs to go through GPA. So a lot of it depends on the budget set by GPA and the number of posts set by them to approve the creation of new civil service posts. It also depends on how the Health Ministry projects its manpower over the years. This depends on each facility, how many staff do they need, how many staff they can support. So I think MOH's hands are partly tied in this matter, but I think the responsibility lies overall with the whole government and not just MOH.
But I can imagine from a doctor's perspective, right, you might probably are very frustrated over all this. So, but at the same time, how realistic is it for all contract workers to be given permanent positions?
To be honest, I think it'd be hard for MOH to take in it all at one go. Like the Health Minister said, it's a legacy problem and it's been going on for a number of years. The contract system was placed in 2016, but I think the problems was started way back, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago and accumulated to now. The problem is mainly structural and systemic. It involves many stakeholders, doctors, medical schools, the government, and also comes from a bit of poor manpower planning years ago. And also how the junior doctor system is built. I think a more realistic aim is to get MOH to commit to a roadmap or a master plan to explicitly put how many contract doctors they can absorb in a certain period of time. And this plan also must be at least transparent and accountable.
Dr. Koo, the Hartal Doctor Contract Movement said that they'll proceed with another nationwide strike following this latest development and also over dissatisfaction in Budget 2022, which they say didn't really provide enough details on how their issues will be resolved. Do you think this will change the government's stand on the matter?
I think it's worth keeping the pressure on the government. They need funds safely. And it caught the attention of quite a bit of people. Obviously, the government itself, politicians on both divide, NGOs, civil societies, and also, of course, the public. And to be fair, the government did respond, though not fully implement all of the demands of the group. Issues like opportunity to pursue postgrad studies, salary imbalance were proposed, but we will still have to see the details on that. But like I mentioned earlier, it's not a problem that we can resolve overnight. So while I think it's worth pursuing it, expectations have to be adjusted as well on both sides. I see the problem as a long negotiation. So probably both sides have to really give in a bit and take a little to benefit everyone. The fight for the equality of rights and etc. will be a long one. And for now, maybe the junior doctors now will not get what they want. But I think they should keep in mind that they are also fighting for junior doctors, future junior doctors as well. That means actually basically the future of our healthcare manpower.
So I'm curious, like you say, right, it's going to be a long, drawn-out affair in terms of resolving it. But what do you think should be the first step to getting this issue resolved? What's the first thing that we should do?
I think it would be helpful if MOH be honest about the situation. Acknowledging the contract system implemented back then in 2016 was a poor stopgap measure of manpower planning. And then we can look at how to get the relevant stakeholders to sit down and have a proper discussion. There are some discussions with certain medical associations, but they are not totally representative of the whole group. So I think there needs to be a very frank, honest discussion to decide on the probably short, middle and long-term solutions. As I say again, the plan to resolve it must be transparent. Hopefully, we at least a timeline of key decisions on what needs to be done. And somehow, the plan also must be put in place regardless of ministerial or governmental change. Because as we said, it can't be solved overnight and it takes a number of years to solve it. Transparency, I think, is quite important for these junior doctors, you know, so that they won't be in a limbo, not knowing what to expect in the future. Sudden announcements over parliament and press statements, not knowing what to expect, is quite insecure, and I don't think that's very nice to have. And so the timeline will serve as a guide for those thinking of pursuing medicine in the future. High school students, college students, at least they know what are their career prospects in Malaysia. I think the junior doctors now are frankly frustrated and probably pushed to almost desperation now. It's a bit unfortunate that they have to bear the brunt of poor planning previously. So keeping all this in mind, perhaps the government can empathize a little bit more why the strike was held.
And I guess, what other reforms would you like to see put in place to assist contract medical officers? You did name a few just now. Are there any, I guess, immediate measures that could be considered that, that you think would be easy to implement, at least for now, as a stopgap measure, as the long negotiations take place?
Well, I think there are some options placed now, but ultimately what they want is basically a level playing field with equal rights and privileges as their permanent counterparts, and also of course opportunities to pursue the studies. I don't think these are excessive demands, and the process should be transparent, the criteria on how to pursue these options for them. Overall, I would like to see a better working environment for them too. Our doctors and all the healthcare workers or the frontliners have been basically carrying the weight of the whole pandemic response. I think it's only fair, it's our duty to make it easier for them to do their work. For starters, I think less paperwork and bureaucracy on getting their allowances, their annual leaves, proper rest, proper rotational system so that everyone gets proper rest, and also, of course, proper remuneration for them. I think everyone has a part to play to make the working environment better from the system, the government, senior doctors, junior doctors as well. The contract system has been a problem not only for doctors, for pharmacists, dental officers, allied health nurses. So the problem is much more complex and wider in a sense. So it's basically a structural and systemic problem.
Dr. Koo, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Koo Yong-Kian, Managing Director at the Malaysian Medical Gazette, giving us a lay of the land in terms of what issues are affecting contract doctors. And it's not just doctors, it's pharmacists and dental workers as well. So it's a big issue that requires not these stopgap measures, but a really long-term resolution, essentially.
I like his suggestions, one of which is that you have to be completely transparent, right? No hiding any facts. Say it as it is. The second is having a timeline in which you agree to implement certain things, or at least agree to negotiate at certain things at certain times. And the political will is probably the key to it, because if it's going to be a long, drawn-out affair, it may involve many different ministers, because ministers come and go, and even governments come and go. But if you don't resolve this, 10 years later, we'll be back to square one. In fact, the problem would have probably become even bigger over time.
That's right. And don't forget that this contract issue, well, when you think about it, was really introduced officially 4 years ago in 2016.
Yeah.
But as he pointed out, it's actually been building for decades before that. So again, long-term visionary planning is really required in order to put this to an end.
Yeah. And this morning we were asking our listeners on Twitter, why do you think the contract doctors issue remains unresolved? And there were four issues. And exactly 58% said it's because of the lack of political will. And I think that's key, right, to getting it resolved in the future.
That's right. And of course, can we just say that we do appreciate all our medical workers out there. They've been working really hard during this pandemic. And I think it's something to think about that their working conditions aren't that great.
Yeah,
and,
you know, a lot of bureaucracy, not much pay, very little free time, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. They have really, I think, gone beyond the call of duty.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.